This is Memorial Day Eve, and we liken to that in some of our prayers and remembering that the men and the women who have sacrificed for our country and how they have earned undying honor from all of us. James Garfield, I know many of you think he's your favorite president because he was a Christian preacher, and he was also Speaker of the House and later on President of the United States. And in May 30th, 1866, he gave the initial address at Arlington National Cemetery for the first Memorial Day. And he said this: "I am oppressed with a sense of the impropriety of uttering words on this occasion. In silence, it is ever golden. It must be here. Beside the graves of 15,000 men whose lives were more significant than speech and whose death is now a poem, the music of which can never be sung." 15 years later, James A. Garfield would be laid to rest in Cleveland, Ohio, following an assassin's bullet. Amen. I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you would please, to the Gospel of John, to the 17th chapter. And we're going to hear the last words that Jesus gave to his disciples before he was arrested on that Holy Thursday. "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who believe in me through their message. But all of them may be one, Father, just as you and I am one. May they also be to us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be the one as you and I are one. For in them, you and me, and we are still one. May they be brought to complete unity in the world, that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I sent these that you have given me where I am, and you see my glory, the glory you have given to me because you have loved me since the creation of the world. Righteous Father, although the world does not know you, I know you, and they know you, and that you have sent me. I have made known unto you, and I will continue to make known, in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them." May God have the richest blessings of the reading and hearing of his holy word. Amen. Once Jesus finished this prayer, the Roman soldiers arrived to take him away. These were the very last words he would proclaim to his disciples in this prayer that says, "You and I are the one because the Lord has made us one. And those who God has made one will share in the same testimony and in the same proclamation, and they're going to make a difference." And so what happens here is that he is commissioning his disciples one last time in his life to spread the word and to spread it with the same passion that he would share it. We call this night the night of the Passion. We call this night Maundy Thursday. We call this night Holy Thursday. But it is the night that Jesus was taken and turned over to the hands of sinners, so that the sacrifice might be complete. We had a little taste of that a little bit earlier when we were remembering Memorial Day. One of the things that always got confusing to me was there were so many days that honored the military. But Memorial Day is for those who have died in the service. It was originally a very solemn occasion. But as time went on, we began not to grieve so much, but to give thanksgiving for what it was that they had done. They had answered a call that was greater than themselves, and they did it willingly. And so, in the words of James Garfield, we cannot honor these men any more than they have already been honored, but we can remember. We can remember all that they did for us, and we can remember all that God did for Jesus, and He's going to do for the disciples. And so into your hands we commit ourselves so that we may be more like Jesus. I know it's easy to think, yes, I can be like Jesus. I can be like Jesus. But I can't heal. I can't make things right the way that Jesus could. But I can give testimony to the fact that He is the Lord, and it is He who has called me to this place where I am compelled to give testimony. I am compelled to tell the truth. When it says bear witness to the Lord, we are bearing true witness because it is something that we know. If we do not know the Lord Jesus, we cannot bear anything but false witness. Those of us who have been saved and know the power of God in Jesus Christ, we are going to step back and we are going to say, my God, what have you done to me and through me? In the excellent Sunday school lesson that we had today, thank you so much, we learned what the fruits of the Spirit were. And we as Christians, if we bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit in us, we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to fumble and bumble around and say, what is it that you could tell me, Lord, that would be any significance to anyone who has not heard before? When you give witness in a church, you hope that you're giving witness to the body of Christ. You hope that everyone there has a unique story that is theirs, and we revel in each other's stories. But each story is the same, even though it's different. Each story that we have, that we remember, is just as real as the men and the women who sacrificed themselves on the battlefields or in the training camps of our military. That tomorrow, when we have that solemn occasion, when we gather together, and in many places we decorate them with flags on their grave, but we remember it all because they answered a higher calling. So we as Christians are always being called to what's our higher calling. Now, one of the things that we have is that our story, as long as we are alive, is only partial. It's never been complete until we are with God again in heaven. But it should bear great fruit, because who it is that we became, became somebody totally different. The ways of the earth are inward. The ways of the earth and of the flesh We know that we can take care of ourselves. You ever try to take care of yourself in God's kingdom? You know, I can't do that. I cannot do that because God didn't call me in a vacuum. God did not call me or you just to be who we wanted to be. But He called us here, as we read here in the Gospel of John. He called us to be something more. He called us to be one with Him. And this one with the Father, He's about to let Himself be sacrificed so that everyone will know who He was, who He is, and who He still is, because He would overcome death in the most tragic event that any of the disciples had ever seen or imagined. How can the Messiah die at the hands of sinful men? Only because He willed it. Only because He saw in Himself and His death an atonement. He saw in Himself and what He was going to proclaim that we who were terrified of losing our lives would have eternal life. That we who thought that we would make the ultimate sacrifice and that it may not or be remembered, this holy other, this legitimate Son of God was going to live in us and we would have the gift of eternal life. Now I remember when I was growing up and trying to imagine all the things that could happen and imagining what it was like, and I realized there were certain things in the Bible that I didn't know that I could swallow whole. I didn't know what it was that I, as a brilliant young man, would be able to proclaim about Jesus. Well, the one thing, you know, was Jesus born of a virgin? Well, it says He does. Does He rise from the dead? What's more hard to believe, that He was born of a virgin or was raised from the dead? What's harder to believe, that God created the entire universe out of nothingness, or that God actually cared about this little corner of nothingness that was me? And so, if we are hearing this prayer today of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, a garden that He knows will be the last moment of freedom that He has in an earthly life, who are we to deny it? Who are we to deny that the very Son of God, who would soon be raised from the dead and breathe upon us the gift of the Holy Spirit, who are we to deny that we have not received the Holy Spirit? Who are we to say that the message we have is not more important than who it is we were, who it is that we are? And so, just like Jesus, we approach whatever is going on in the world, and we can approach it with a confidence. Not that everything will be okay, because trust me, sometimes when you're making a witness for the Lord, it is not okay. Sometimes you get crucified. Sometimes you suffer. Sometimes you get run out of town on a rail or have to be lowered over the wall in a basket. But the truth is always the same. Jesus and I and you are the same Spirit. Because the Spirit of God in Jesus Christ lives in us. How in the world can that be possible? How in the world can someone who is flawed and self-centered and so important in his own life be humbled enough to make an effective witness for God? One of the things that I have found, and we were talking in the Sunday school class again, we highly recommend that to you for this church. We were talking about the preachers that we saw on television. And we would say, by God, they do have a message that is holy and just and good, even if they are not holy, just, and good. I can remember Jim Baker. Anybody used to watch the PTO Club? I had a neighbor across the street. The wife loved Jim Baker and loved Tammy Faye Baker. Her husband could not stand the ground they worshipped on. But they went to the PTL Club outside of Charlotte, and they came back, and their views of what was going on were 180 degrees different. And I explained to the husband, he says, all preachers are crooks. All preachers are terrible things that are going to happen. And he says, well, I know you're not, because I've actually been in your house, you know, but you're not like them. But all the TV preachers are like that. I used to laugh when I got on TV several years later with a ministry for our church in Macon. But the truth is that Jim Baker and Tammy Faye Baker, in spite of all that they did wrong, they did some things right. And Dorothy was able to understand what was going on right, and she maybe believed in the messenger a little bit more than she should have instead of the message. But the truth was, she was transformed by their ministry, because it opened her up to the fact that even God could use her. And so God uses people who are flawed. God uses people like Jim Baker and Tammy Faye Baker. He uses even flawed people like Steve Womack. And he says, if I can use you, who's to say that I can't use another one who is my servant? All those who are servants of the Lord Jesus Christ have about them not a sense of accomplishment, but a sense of absolute, total amazement that God would choose to use you. That God could use even me to be an instrument of His grace and of His glory, that I could use the education and the experiences and the understandings that I had of Scripture and of holiness to help bring others to Christ, and more importantly, in preaching in the churches like I do, to strengthen the people whose faith is wavering. Because anyone who takes upon the mantle of Jesus Christ, anyone who takes that on to themselves, treads in what could be dangerous ground. Because who am I to sit up and proclaim that Jesus has spoken not only through me, but Jesus has given me a message to say to you. I can remember being terrified when I first started in the ministry. What if I'm wrong? What if I make a mistake? What if I'm not like all the other preachers who have all sorts of things that they believe in? And then I realized that it wasn't about doctrine. It wasn't about believing a specific thing, but it was about having a relationship. A relationship with God through Christ, and a relationship with everybody that I saw in the church. I had a wonderful moment. Back when I was an undergraduate and I was preparing for Easter, and I was going around decorating the trees on campus and putting plastic eggs on those trees. And I was so full of myself, I could hardly stand it. And I went out there and I was putting them on these trees and decorating them in all these wonderful colors in the days before Easter. And a friend of mine who had been in one of my classes, who was from Pakistan, saw me. And he wanted to know what in the world I was doing. What in the world was I doing putting plastic Easter eggs on trees that had not budded for the spring? And I started to try to tell him about Jesus. Well, he had heard about Jesus, but he didn't know a whole lot about him. And so that next class, I had looked around and found, are you ready for this? A Gideon Bible that used to fit in the pocket. It was a green thing that they gave out to the students on campus. And I gave that Gideon Bible to my friend. And I repeated the phrase that everybody told me to repeat, and said, read the Gospel of John. I don't know why they wanted him to read the Gospel of John, but I told him dutifully that. Well, the next Monday, I came to class, and Reddy was tapping at the Bible that was in his pocket. And he says, I've read your Gospel. And you know what? I think that Jesus is going to be my favorite God. And I said, I don't think that's the way it worked. I think there's something different that you should have picked up in that. That Jesus is not only God, He's the only Son of God. And we disappeared from each other's lives for years. And one day, I was at a conference, and I was coming in, and somebody there was taking my name and my information so they could give me the name tag for the conference. And I looked at Reddy, who was there hosting with his local church, and said, what happened, Reddy? And he says, you gave me the Bible. And I became a Christian. And I was so humbled, I couldn't believe it. It had been 15 years since I had seen him, and yet that simple act, I knew, finally came back and bore fruit. Did I do anything special? Yeah. I opened myself up to be an instrument of God. I gave away one of those green Gideon Bibles, of which I probably had a dozen, that I had accumulated through the years. But for my friend Reddy, it was the way into a kingdom. I don't know that I ever did anything else that was that spectacular. I don't know that I ever was that instrumental in bringing a person to Christ from a dead stop. But God did use me. God used Jim Baker. God used Tammy Faye Baker. And God's used all people who accept the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so as Jesus was here awaiting the final decision of the Roman authorities on what they were going to do to him, he prayed for me, and he prayed for you. And he says, I pray that you and I are one, and that the disciples and the ones I pray for, not only those here, but people as far away as Steve Womack, or people so many generations removed we can hardly count them, will hear my words and something will click. We will become children of the Holy Spirit. And you know what? If nothing else ever happened in my life, that would have been it. Now, I went on and I have preached, just recently retired after 40 years in the active ministry. But nowhere was it more precious than when an engineering student wanted to ask me about Jesus. See, God has a way of using the most innocent things in your life. Are you going to be able to save thousands? Are you going to preach to a large assembly? I have. I've preached at Corinth Christian Church. But God brings the fruit. And that's what we celebrate today. We remember those who have given their lives for the cause of our country. We remember those who have given their cause for Jesus Christ. And we remember those who have given what they thought was just a simple witness. Because even the simple witness sometimes bears great fruit. And so we ask again that Jesus Christ be upon us, that we receive the blessings that Jesus gave on that day in the Garden of Gethsemane, and you and I will be one as He is with the Father. In Jesus' name, that's our mission. And that's what we proclaim because we are Christians. In Jesus' name, let it be done. Amen.